Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by HDB Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Ladies and gentlemen, also note this conference call is only for analysts and not for media. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Patel from HDB Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Vishal.
Thank you, Sagar. I welcome you all to the Q2 earnings call of HDB Financial Services Limited. We have with us Mr. G. Ramesh, MD and CEO, along with Mr. Jaykumar Shah, CFO, and the senior management team of the company. I believe all of you would have had a chance to peruse our financial results, investor presentation, and press release, which have been filed with the stock exchanges earlier today. We will start with the management remarks and then open up the call for Q&A. Audio recording of this call will be available on our website shortly after the call ends. I will now request Mr. G. Ramesh for his opening remarks, followed by Mr. Jaykumar Shah, who will provide a brief on the financial results. We will open up thereafter for Q&A.
Thank you, Vishal, and a very good evening to all of you who have joined us today. Greetings of the season. Briefly on the macros, India seems to be in a very unique situation in terms of domestic economic activity, which is showing resilience in spite of geopolitical uncertainties, as indicated by GDP estimates and high-frequency indicators. The latest monetary policy review commentary on growth and inflation estimates bodes well for the economy. The robust monsoon season is expected to perk up rural consumption. Easing inflation and the impetus provided by GST rationalization bodes well for the broader economy and financiers as we step into the festive season. The regulator's comments, as a part of the latest monetary policy commentary on the draft circular for forms of business, is meaningful and augurs well for us while we wait for the final guidelines. Coming to the quarterly business updates, as you would all recollect, we have our businesses which are bucketed into three distinct business lines. The first business is what we call enterprise lending. This business has both secured and unsecured loans. So the secured lending products, which is primarily consisting of loan against property and enterprise business loans, grew moderately in Q2. On gold loans, recent changes in regulations in the gold loans business have helped us gain good traction in Q2, along with an increase in the price of the metal, and augurs well for this segment going forward. We have held a conservative position on unsecured business loans. As asset quality pressures ease, we expect to return to a growth trajectory in the coming quarters. The second business that we have is what we call asset financing. In asset financing, we have faced challenges in the commercial vehicle financing segment on asset quality in Q1, and this continued through Q2 as well. Monsoon accentuated matters as high precipitation in specific geographies of the country, that is, north and east, impeded vehicle deployment with consequent impact on customer cash flows. Based on our business insights, we believe that vehicle idling, which is a phenomenon that we normally notice in Q2 because of monsoon, this year was much higher than the year prior years. The second factor was that there was deferment of demand for vehicles because of the announcement of GST rate rationalization. However, with the extended monsoon season and a seasonally slow quarter behind us, we anticipate a positive momentum in book growth with the onset of the festive season and supported by key policy changes made by the government through GST rate cuts, which have essentially reduced the cost of ownership of a commercial vehicle. On consumer finance, which is the third business line that we talk about, in this segment, again, growth was moderate in Q2 due to demand deferment on expected GST reductions, which have actually now come through, specifically in some product categories like two-wheelers and consumer durables and auto. This should help us pick up there should be a pickup in demand in auto, two-wheelers, and consumer durables on the back of, one, festive season, two, easing inflation, three, better kharif crop sowing and so growing farm incomes, and that should be a positive for this segment going forward. We have already started seeing good movement in retail offtake in the first few days of October, which should reflect in the months ahead. Thank you all for joining in and wishing everyone a very happy Diwali and a wonderful festive season. I'll now hand over to our CFO, Mr. Jai Kumar Shah, for an update on the financials.
Thank you, Ramesh. A very warm welcome to all. Moving on to the financial performance for the quarter. Customer franchise grew to 21 million with an increase of 4.2% sequentially and 19.6% year-on-year. The gross loan book as at September 30, 2025 stood at 1,11,409 crores, growing 1.9% sequentially and 13% Y-on-Y. Secured loans comprised 73% of the total loan book. Disbursements for the quarter ended September 30, 2025 was 15,599 crores, up by 2.8% sequentially. Branch count stood at 1749, spread across 1157 cities and towns. Net interest income for the quarter was 2,192 crores, an increase of 4.8% quarter-on-quarter and 19.6% year-on-year. NIMS, net interest margin, for Q2 FY26 improved to 7.9% versus 7.7% in Q1 FY26 and 7.5% in Q2 FY25. Cost to income ratio for our lending business declined to 40.7% in Q2 FY26 as compared to 42.7% in Q1 FY26 and 42.7% in Q2 FY25. The ratio for the half year was 41.6% as compared to 43% compared last year, i.e. H1 FY25. Cost to assets reduced from 3.8% to 3.7% Q-on-Q. Pre-provisioning operating profit for the quarter was 1,502 crores as against 1,388 crores for the prior quarter. Credit cost for the quarter was 748 crores as against 670 crores for the prior quarter. Profit after tax for the quarter ended September 30, 2025 was 581 crores as against rupees 568 crores for the prior quarter. Gross stage 3 as at September 30, 2025 stood at 2.81% as against 2.56% as at June 30, 2025. Provision coverage ratio on stage 3 stood at 54.73 as at September 30, 2025. ROA annualized for the quarter ended September 30, 2025 stood at 1.93%, which includes opening assets of approximately 9,000 crores of OFS money as at September 30, 2025. Adjusted for this, the ROA would be 2.02%. ROA annualized for the quarter, ROA annualized for H1 FY26 stood at 2.1%. ROE annualized for quarter ended September 30, 2025 stood at 12.23%. Earnings per share for the quarter was 7 rupees and book value per share stood at 233.10 rupees. Our borrowing mix remains well diversified with a positive cumulative mismatch across all buckets up to 5 years. We remain well capitalized with total CRAR, i.e. capital adequacy, of 21.82% as at September 30, 2025. So this was a summary from our end. Sagar, we can now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, also in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two each per participant and you may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star and one. Our first question comes from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So a couple of things. In your opening commentary, you spoke about some stress that we saw in CV in 1Q and that continued in 2Q as well. You also spoke about some vehicle idling, which in 2Q was much higher than prior years. Likewise, in the last quarter, you had shared something around MSME that we have seen. If you could just touch upon that. In addition to that, are there any other newer retail stress segments which have emerged during the quarter? That is my first question. The second question was, now that you have practically seen through almost the specifications and maybe another 5 days to go, what is the view that you are emerging? I remember kind of ended your opening remarks by saying that in the first few days of October, we are seeing a good retail uptick. So if you could just, for the benefit of all of us, kind of dwell on that, that how has the festive season been, both Navratri and what's Diwali looking like. And lastly, sir, given that you are among the first NBFCs to report in an early season, if you could just kind of speak about some of the trends that you would have seen in the last quarter, that would help all of us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Abhijit, for your questions. I'll try and answer them. Jai Kumar here. So in terms of the stress segment, Abhijit, I'll just cover it as a whole, I think, so that it helps holistically. As you're aware, enterprise lending is approximately 38% of a book, asset finance approximately 39%, and the remaining is consumer finance. We spoke about, and you specifically referred to MSME. We had quoted last time stating that we had seen stabilization in our MSME book, and that's continued into Q2 as well. So we haven't seen any significant stress increase in MSME space within the enterprise lending segment that we had called out earlier. So that's one. Second, on the CV space in specific, we had stated at the end of Q1 that there were certain challenges. And as Ramesh alluded to, on account of some of the monsoon challenges, i.e. flash floods that you've seen in the north and east of the country, there has been certain areas which have actually been closed for more than a week, 10 days or even 15 days, which has resulted in vehicles not really plying the roads, which has impacted our customer base. And that's been as a result of which that there has been stress which has come through. As we've moved into towards latter part of September, we believe that was an event that happened in August or July and August, and we should be moving forward from here on. In terms of the festive season view, we are, as you know, all of us have read in the newspapers and as all of us are looking around in the market, there is a lot of positivity that we see all around us in the retail segment. And we're very hopeful that with that positivity, we should be able to ride the market and do well over the coming quarters.
Yeah. Got it. And
you.
Just a follow-up there, sir, Jekuma, sir. So you spoke about this positivity in the festive season. You've seen that across both auto as well as consumer durables?
So in the consumer segment, we're surely seeing it. In the other segments, there is some amount of positivity, but I think we have to give it time. It's the first, you know, week, 10 days of October. As we go through the month of October and beyond, we'll have to see that.
Got it. And so other than CV and MSME,
sorry, Abhi,
there's no
can
other...
Can I request you to come back in so that others also get
sure.
a chance, and then I'm sure I can answer more. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Viral Shah from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So if you can just say double click on the asset quality piece. So you mentioned that MSME has not seen any deterioration on a sequential basis. And even in asset finance, it is only commercial vehicle. So this entire stress of, I would say, the what we are seeing in net slippages is attributable only to the commercial vehicle segment on a sequential basis. And secondly, Jay, if you can also talk about the provisioning. So if I see and look at the stage 1 and 2 numbers also, I understand stage 3, there could be some write-off impact. But why has the PCR come down for the stage 1 and 2? That would be two questions from my end. Thank you.
Okay. So I'll cover the first one first, which is on terms of slippages, etc. It is materially coming from the CV segment. There has been a little bit of construction equipment that gets affected. Naturally, it's in a similar domain, but that's rather small. But largely, it's come through the CV segment. So when you look at 2.56 to 2.8, that's what contributes to it in terms of slippages. As far as the provisioning is concerned, you would think about it, Viral, last time also we have spoken, ours is largely a formula-based piece. We have a very diverse, you know, portfolio ranging from LAP through to consumers. And the book mix in terms of what sits in what book drives it a lot more. Plus, the PD/LGD of each book is very different. If you look at our stage 3 provisions, again, as the secured book has gone into it, there is a slight bit of difference, but that's more because each product has a different PD/LGD. On stage 2, our provisions are largely similar. And on stage 1, as some of the book mix has moved, there is a slight bit of reduction. But on overall basis, fundamentally, there is no change in approach that we have towards provisioning.
Got it. And just on your piece and commentary with regard to the CV segment, you mentioned that that is the major contributor. Within that, is it, say, the new or the used piece? And has it anything to do with, say, the correction in the CV prices, especially on the used piece?
So what happens in Q2, it's a seasonal thing, and it happens both in construction equipment and in commercial vehicles, that there's some amount of idling that happens. For example, let's say a construction equipment is being used in a mine, right, and the mine gets flooded because of rains. So, you know, there'll be idling of the machine. Similarly, if there's very heavy rains and if a vehicle typically covers, let's say, 100 kilometers or 150 kilometers a day, that might come down by about 20-30%. So, historically, if you look at Q2 as a season for commercial vehicles, there's about 20% idling that you can look at in this period as compared to Q3 or Q4. You know, some of our insights suggest that this time in certain markets that went as high as 30-35%. So it's not really vehicle type, but really where the vehicle was and how the vehicle got impacted by unseasonal rains or inability to commute because of weather conditions. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you so much, Ramesh, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Shubhranshu Mishra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So quickly on this climatic change impacting our book, climatic change today is a reality. So are we providing additionally for this? And even the climate change can be predicted to a certain extent. So, and this should be a seasonal thing. So anything more to read into the asset quality and what should be a sustainable credit cost that we should punch into our models. Also, if you can spell out the PD/LGD assumptions for the CVP. Thanks.
Thank you. So, Shubhranshu, I'll cover the second part first. So, in terms of PD/LGDs, how we look at, we have, depending on the individual product, between a 5 to 8 year bucket in terms of the data that is available. So we'd go through the cycle in terms of, you know, what is the probability of default and the loss given default for each asset type. And that's what we factor in. In terms of specifically on seasonality, you're right. It does affect in certain times, and India is a country where seasonality, of course, is there. That largely gets factored into PD/LGD. And also in the asset movement. So today, if you look at it, where some of the book has moved to stage 3 from stage 2 between June and September, you're actually seeing provisions increase. So it naturally factors it in terms of the risk parameter for us to look at it more closely and then work on corrections and recoveries.
What would be the blended PD/LGD, if you can please call that out for the CV book?
We don't put it out because I think it's a complex model, but what I would suggest is you speak to our IR team, you speak to Vishal after the call, and we'll see how to, you know, best factor that in.
Right. Can I just squeeze in one last question?
Interrupt. So, Branshu sir, may we request to return to the queue for any follow-up questions, please? Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shweta from Elara. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I have two questions. The first on credit cost. So barring the pandemic periods, today the credit costs have actually reached historical highs. So at 2.7%, knocking off the seasonal challenges pertaining to the first half of the year, what is the normalized credit cost going forward, say, for next 2 years? That's the first question. Second, sorry to harp on asset financing on the CV side. So while you mentioned about certain distinct challenges of vehicle idling, also certain markets or regional challenges, will these challenges negate the positives coming from GST rate rationalization, and therefore do we expect CV vehicle financing growth to remain subdued even for the remainder part of the year? Yeah, those are my two questions.
Okay. So in terms of credit cost, let me take on that one. Shweta, what we look at is, I wouldn't say, we don't provide a, you know, immediate term forecast, but in the 3 to 5 year period, we look to operate within a 2.2% plus minus in terms of overall credit cost. And that is where we believe the ideal range for our book is. Today, we are at 2.7%, which is on the elevated side, and we expect that to start coming down from the coming quarters. That's the first one. In terms of GST rate rationalization, I think we've got to watch that space closely. It is a very recent phenomena where things have just about panned out in the last 2 weeks, if I can put it that way. People are still getting to terms in terms of, you know, how should some of the used segment play and some of the new segment play. We believe with the country growing, there is enough opportunity. And as we go through this coming quarter, I think it'll be worth watching that space and then commenting on it.
So one more point, Shweta, that you asked about, you know, the credit cost. So if you look at pre-pandemic, our product mix was very, very different compared to what it is today. For example, our consumer book was just about 10% 6-7 years ago. So really you can't compare credit costs, let's say 5 years ago, with the credit cost today, because our product mix has changed substantially. Many of the products that were very small in our book 5 years ago are today large contributors to our balance sheet. So when we look at really cost, it has to be a sort of a blended cost based on the product mix. And as I said, Jay has given you a credit cost that we are comfortable with given our current product mix.
Right, sir.
Yeah.
So just a follow-up question there on commercial vehicles. So what is our...
Shweta ma'am, may we request to return to the queue for any follow-up questions, please? Thank you so much, ma'am. Our next question comes from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Two questions. The first one is that, can you please help, your mix of new and old, in your CV? The second question is, with all these kind of, some bit of challenges that were there and, some bit of a demand revival across businesses and as well as Johnson, this 13% kind of a growth, of course, I would think lower than normal. What kind of a growth you expect, to pan out in H2 and probably in FY 2027? Thanks.
Thanks, Avinash. Avinash, let me answer both your questions. The first one was new and used. If you look at our slides, this is something which a lot of you had asked for. If you look at our slides on slide 18, we've actually put it out. CV new is 16% and CV used is 9% of our book today. Yeah. In terms of your other question was?
On growth outlook, because I mean, 13%.
From a growth outlook point of view, the way I think one of your colleagues asked the question earlier, the way we would look at it is Q3, again, as I mentioned, we see a lot of upbeat in terms of the entire expectation from the market, expectation from the customer, and expectation on the street. That needs to translate. The first week, 10 days, as Ramesh mentioned, have been positive on the consumer side. We are very hopeful that that translates into a much better growth momentum for the entire retail industry, and that should augur well for our growth for the quarter and beyond. In terms of the medium term, if I were to look at a three to five-year trajectory in terms of how we build our projections and we build our growth forecast, we look at a 18%-20% CAGR book growth over a period of time. Of course, as GDP moves forward and grows well, we would adjust, and we have the absolute engine and the capability to do a lot more. Again, GDP numbers came in positive over Q1, and assuming that continues over Q3 and Q4, you should see good momentum pick up for us as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shreya Shivani from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a question on the LAP book. I can see your ticket sizes are on the higher side in this book. However, if you can help us understand, do we have under 10 lakh ticket size over here? What is the stress trend in this portion, if any? Now, second question is on the business loan and the gold loan. Broadly similar kind of a ticket size, and assuming that the same kind of customer would come to you for either of the loans, can you help me understand, was the trend very divergent? Did you go slow on business loan and gold loans? We have an idea, must have grown at a much faster pace. Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Shreya, on terms of LAP book, we might have a few loans here and there in terms of less than 10 lakhs, but most of them are in the average book that's been mentioned, so it's 25 plus or 2.5 million plus. Right? That's one. In terms of business loans, as Ramesh mentioned, we have been slightly conservative in that space. It's an area we've specifically called out over the last, I would say, almost three quarters, where we've had stress, and we watched that space closely. As we've now achieved some level of base where we believe credit cost is moderated and expected to come down, we would hope and work on growth in that business in the coming quarters. Last one being on the gold side, that is an area, as was specifically mentioned at the beginning, we see it as a good opportunity with all the rules harmonizing. Our book has almost grown by 10% Q on Q and 40% year-on-year in the gold space.
Got it. Just on the LAP portion, any stress trends for your portfolio? I understand you don't have under 10 lakh, but anything that you would like to highlight over there?
Nothing.
Just at a level, the way LAP is underwritten is that this is a customer who's got a property that he or she owns, and that's a collateral for a business loan that the customer takes, which means that the business has to have sound financials to generate enough cash for a monthly EMI. Now, if you're looking at a loan of, let's say, 5 million, you're looking at an EMI of upwards of 50,000 rupees a month. And what you expect the customer to generate adequate cash flows to be able to service that kind of EMI. So I think the advantage of a collateral is that the company is able to give a slightly longer term loan, so which reduces the monthly outflow, right? But also because you're writing a longer tenure, you have to make sure that the business that the customer has is of a quality that can sustain for the next few years while the loan is being serviced. A unsecured business loan, by contrast, is for smaller amounts, and if you can see our average ticket size of about 300,000 rupees, but they also return for shorter tenures. So which means that the EMI is in the region of 10 to 15,000 rupees. You are evaluating the customer for ability to service a smaller amount for a shorter tenure. Okay. Gold loans, by contrast, are typically shorter tenure contracts because this is a product where customers would like to prepay as soon as possible, right? Because it's really a temporary business requirement that they are looking at to fulfill. So I think your question is probably around micro LAP as a segment.
Yeah, we
typically don't have exposure to that segment, right? We are underwriting customers and with larger value properties and larger ticket sizes.
No, completely understood. This is very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, you may press star and one now. Our next question comes from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. My first question is on asset quality. So when I look at your loan stages and the movement through the quarter, so stage 3 increasing is pretty much in line with the seasonal pattern, when we look at the overall stage 3, including the write-off amount. But when we look at stage 2 is stable. And broadly calculating the flows coming from stage 1, the flow rate seems to be improving. While, I mean, Q&Q it improves, but even Y and Y, the flow rate seems to be stable. Are there any early indications that from stage 1, the collection efficiency is now getting better, or the flow rates from stage 1 going into stage 2, is it getting better in the more recent months?
Okay. So Rajiv, let me answer a little, give you a little longer answer and try and address your question. If you look at stage 3, right, as we called out earlier, there has been certain flood-like situations. Assam was closed for 5 days for certain reasons. The northern belt had certain challenges. So some of the expectations that we had in terms of bringing the book back in towards the second half of September actually faced challenges. We're working on obviously improving that and getting the book back in. In terms of a number of actions that we had taken through July and August, that did help us in curbing some of the flow forwards from August to September. Recoveries is something which we have to improve, coming into October, November. That should really help us bring the stage 3 back in. And these were very specific things on the ground, which happened due to which circumstances, didn't help in reaching out to customers for a reason or the other. Obviously, there are reasons and, we are very hopeful that we could bring that back in the coming months.
But your observation on stage 2 assets being stable or improving is correct. And there is obviously a higher focus on collection efficiencies, which we have started seeing across most products. We expect commercial vehicles to also improve as the economy next few months that we are looking at.
Okay. And sir, internally, what will make us push growth? I mean, I know macro, GST, some demand will improve. But internally, what are the indicators and what thresholds will make us push growth on the ground? And a related question is on competition. Do you see the competitive space getting slightly more cleared now? Some irrationality in competition, going out in certain products?
So from a growth point of view, Rajiv, I think that's something we're equally focused on. Let's see how, you know, the Diwali festive moves forward for across all segments of ours, be it business loans, be it, you know, the LAP side, as Ramesh mentioned, it's businesses that we're funding. And as confidence starts to come back, we should see a better offtake there, right? Similarly, on the CV side, you know, as you've seen, we're doing more of used. As prices also move around, that is still a portfolio which we believe, you know, there should be good growth coming in. Similarly, on the consumer side, as we mentioned, the first 10 days have seen some good traction on the field. And we're very hopeful as we move from now through to 23rd, 24th of October and to the end of the month, that traction actually pushes us into a zone where, you know, not just October, but the entire quarter looks a lot more positive. So we're very well geared up within the company and within the team to push for a reasonable amount of growth.
Got it. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, just two questions. Sorry for coming back to the growth you know, outlook. So given, you know, we have a very large bucket of products, so incrementally, you know, which product do you feel should drive the growth, and which are the products where, you know, you will still go a little cautious in near term?
So the way I would look at it, Renish, is growth across all, if I can put it that way, genuinely, right? Segment that we have been, you know, slightly cautious of and which is just about stabilizing is the business loan segment that we have. We believe in the coming quarters that should also start to see growth. You know, some of the consumer side, clearly, if you look at auto loans, right, it has kicked up in terms of really well over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Two-wheelers have also started picking up and so have consumer durables. So over the course of Q3 and Q4, we believe there should be, given the economy as well as the customer sentiment, there should be enough amount of, you know, power behind each one of these products for us to grow. It is obviously going to depend on the overall economy and the geopolitics that plays out. But let's assume if everything stays equal, we should be able to move ahead on most fronts.
Okay. So should we assume CV might take a couple of more quarters before we start pushing growth, or do you see that product segment as well contributing to growth incrementally?
So CV is a reasonable size book for us. There are some segments within that that we will push more on in terms of where we see, you know, long-term focus. And there are certain segments like HCV, for example, where we may not push very hard in the short term.
Got it. And just a last question on the asset quality.
Sorry to interrupt. Renish, sir, may we request you return to the queue for any follow-up questions, please?
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirius. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My question was particularly on the enterprise lending, and within that, especially on LAP, business loans and enterprise loans. So how have we seen the bounce rates, let's say, for September versus what it was probably in a Feb-March period? Have you seen signs of improvement there, or is it still at the same, or has it gone down? So just some color on that as for that front.
So Shripal, the way I would like you to look at it is our LAP book has been fairly stable, right? Something which has very low on credit costs, and it has operated in a similar zone over the last 6 to 9 months, or maybe almost a year. So that is how I would want you to look at it, rather than an increasing, decreasing trend. It's a stable portfolio, something we're very focused on, something we wish to grow, and has, you know, reasonably good asset quality.
And then, so that is for LAP, for business loans and enterprise loans?
So for business loans, as I covered it earlier, there has been a stabilization in Q1. There has been, you know, further slight amount of improvement in Q2. And that is something we're very hopeful of as, you know, the book matures. We will see, you know, good amount of improvement in the coming months, and we should see growth also coming back.
Got it. The second question was pertaining to rejection rates. So I understand that, you know, all lenders had tightened their underwriting norms probably around 1Q period. So are we continuing with the similar strategy or have we moderated it given that some of the segments are showing signs of stabilization on bounce rate as well as improvement? So are we moderating our underwriting norms and are we seeing rejection rates, you know, coming off? So some color on that front if you could give. So, and this is particularly for enterprise lending.
Yeah. So, so when you look at approval rates, it's really a function of you know, product, the asset risk. So the you know, in case of a mortgage, you look at the asset, so you would have a measure of asset risk. There's an element of customer risk in terms of the customer's own income and cash flows and previous financial behavior. And then you're looking at a forecast of that business. So when you really do an underwriting, you're looking at, you know, asset risk, you're looking at customer risk, you're looking at geography risk, you're looking at business risk, you know, for example, which industry is the customer in? So there would be a flavor of that in terms of the underwriting. So there could be businesses that naturally lend themselves to better cash flows as compared in certain markets, right? I mean, if you look at India, there are pockets, for example, there would be a textile hub, there would be a manufacturing hub, there could be a retail hub. And what you're really trying to do is to marry these into your credit policy and underwrite the customer. So in enterprise lending, you really do bespoke underwriting. It's not really a scorecard. You know, a scorecard might be an initial filter, but you end up doing a bespoke underwriting because the ticket sizes are large. Which means that a credit officer does a detailed evaluation. So we would fine-tune these credit policies really to a micro market or to a customer segment or to a particular, you know, category of customers based on our own internal experience of how things are progressing, how things are moving. for example, what could be the impact of tariffs on certain industries? So we might decide to tighten the regulations, tighten the policy or moderate the policy. Broadly, I think, you know, our approval rates have not been very different in enterprise lending over the last 1 year. About a year ago, we did make some changes to our underwriting policy on unsecured lending because we found that we had certain sets of customers who had higher propensity to borrow from others because there's just a bunch of lenders who landed up and were essentially doing credit score-based underwriting and that was something that we were not comfortable with. For us, you know, leverage is important. You know, total exposure of the customer is important. And that's the way we really look at underwriting. Yeah?
Got it. And thanks for that detailed answer, sir. But just to sort of conclude, have you seen 70-80% of our underwriting for, let's say, be geography, customer profile centric? Have you seen some moderation or are we looking at moderating it in terms of the underwriting norms or we are sort of, you know, still broadly keeping it intact?
So Shripal, the way we look at it is the chief credit officer today along, you know, with the data that he has, he will look at each segment, each geography, you know, in a very detailed manner and would, you know, go through that and take decisions. It's not a, you know, one size cut formula that you'd go in and say, let's, you know, slice it or dice it in a simple, you know, piece of paper.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you for the answer.
Thank you.
Our next follow-up question comes from Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to follow up. So just two follow-up questions that I had. First thing, how should we think about margins now? This is the last call you had shared that 95% of our bank borrowings are EBLR linked. Will obviously reprice in line with your external or market benchmarks. Assuming they have already repriced, right, how should we look at the cost of borrowing trajectory and the margin trajectory? Obviously, I mean, assuming status quo, while there are room for a few more rate cuts, in the December and the February policy, but assuming status quo, how should the cost of borrowings and margins trend? And lastly, on the CV side, we've discussed a lot in this call already, but I just wanted to pick your brains on one thing. When I look at CVs, there are predominantly two things which are driving CVs today, right? So your consumption and and the other thing is your construction and infrastructure activities. So while consumption might pick up given all the actions that the government has taken, what is it that you're seeing on the construction and the infrastructure activities? That's all.
Thank you. So I'll take both your questions. On the margins and cost of borrowing, the way we would like everybody to look at, Abhijit, is today, I think we've taken a lot of actions over the last few months. And that's exactly what we spoke about with the confidence in the Q1 call. And that's allowed us to bring margins up and reduce our cost of capital, where NIM stand at 7.9. For somebody like us, the way we look at it, the sweet spot is between a 7.9 to 8. And while pressures may come on every side, we will work towards trying to maintain in that region. That's how I would want to look at it. That's on the margins. And obviously cost of borrowing, yields, both factor in that, right? On the CV side in specific, as you rightly said, the consumption side is improving. On the construction and infra side, we're very hopeful that the initiatives that the government is taking helps bring some of those, you know, activities back in, as we saw in previous years. And as that comes through, we should be able to see that segment also growing from here on.
Very useful. Thank you for taking my questions and I wish you and your team good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Shubhranshu Mishra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for allowing me the follow-up. Given the fact that our asset mix has changed considerably over the last 3 years, how do we look at the asset mix in the next 3 to 5 years? That's the first. Second one is, how do we also forecast the credit cost of each specific asset class when it's growing? Thanks.
Okay. So on the asset mix, Shubhranshu, the way we look at it is the consumer business should grow faster, while the other two verticals will also continue to grow. So what you see as 23% today should inch up a few percent over the next couple of years, right? And the reason I say couple of percent, because the other businesses obviously would grow fast as well. Pace would differ in each one of them. So there is no set target that we have today. The most important focus for us as a company is to grow our entire diversified portfolio that we have, keep focused on every product that we believe is a long-term focus for us, and continue to grow in each of our products and each of our markets. So that's a very important one that we should do, and we will do. Second piece around credit cost, at this point in time, the way we look at it is because it's a very diversified portfolio, and we spoke about some of the products where, for example, LAP comes at a very minimal credit cost. There are other products which come at a slightly higher credit cost, like consumer durables, etc. The way we look at it is we need to balance it out as a portfolio, as a whole, for the company, and really focus on how are we going to manage a balanced return that we wish to give and work from there. So that's been our key focus, and that's how we would even want the investor community to look at us, that the diversified portfolio helps us grow in a balanced fashion across cycles and also balance out the credit cost. While it's been a little high in the last quarter or two, we're very hopeful of bringing it to a moderate level in the coming quarters.
Well, thanks. Any new products we are planning to launch in the next 3 to 4 quarters to make our book more diversified?
So, Shubhranshu, I've been told as a listed company, as soon as I think of something and we get it approved, I have to publish it on the exchange. So you'll see it as soon as we are doing something.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prithviraj Patil from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just one clarification that I wanted. In the product mix, we've mentioned something on the lines of relationship PL. So I just wanted clarification on what product that is. And the second is on adoption of technology. So if we look at some of the other peers in the sector, they've adopted technology for underwriting or for sourcing. So I just wanted to know what HDB is doing on that front.
Sure. So relationship PL for us is an absolute product that we've made only for our customers. It is what most people would call as cross-sell. So this is a product that is available exclusively to HDB customers. It comes as a cross-sell to the product base that we would have in the consumer book as well as some of the other books that we have. So that customer, if performing over the first, 6, 9, 12 months, depending on the customer profile, depending on the product they've come to us first with, we give them an opportunity to take the second loan and we work from there. It's a book we've been able to grow over the last 4 to 5 years really well with our customer base. And we're very happy with how we're functioning there and will continue to grow well in that space. That's one. On the technology front, there's a slide that we've put up on HDB on the grow. HDB on the go. And Prithviraj, I'm sure, all of us today live in the financial services world, which is almost a technology company more than anything else. Technology is so akin to our, blood system that if we don't have good technology, I don't think we'd be able to progress very well. So in terms of slide number, I think it is 38 and 39, we talk about it. You can have a look and I think you can give, our IR team a call and we can take you through in detail. But fundamentally, I think we've made sure whether it is, a loan within 2 minutes, whether it is making sure a customer is able to finish their journey online. We're trying to make sure that every single one of those basics that a customer expects from a company like us, we have that in our works and we're able to execute it for the customer. The most important thing is that, we are the right choice for our customer and we're able to progress from here in a manner that the customer chooses us because of, the technology and the service and the right fit for him or herself.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Gautam Jain from GCJ Financial. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. In last quarter, you said your NIM will expand and that perfectly expanded in Q2. Can we say that, the higher credit cost, which started from Q3 of last year, has peaked and we will come back to the normal credit cost itself from Q3, number one? And second, on the growth side, again, growth will pick up from Q3. Can we assume that, number one? And second is, your cost to income ratio has come to 40%. Historically, we had even lower than that. So what is our ideal cost to income ratio we want to achieve? And the third question would be, would you blame higher competition in the market, and because of that, the credit growth has been lower than some of the peers? Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Gautam. So in terms of growth, as I covered it earlier, very hopeful that, we are able to grow well in the coming quarters. And there is a lot of underlying, market, sentiment, which does show that Q3 should be a lot better than Q2 and Q1. And if you look at the commentary also that has come from other, be it banks or financiers, all of us are very positive on how we see Q3 going forward. So Q3 and Q4 should augur to good amount of growth. That's the way you look at it. In terms of cost income ratio, if you look at it on a H1 basis, we're 41.6% and we were 42.7% earlier. As we grow, and as we push on a number of initiatives, we believe between a 41.5 to a 42, that's something fairly ideal for us, as we continue on our growth journey. The more important metric there is in terms of cost to asset. It's in one of our slides. I can give you the slide number in a minute. I think it's this slide. Okay, I'll give you a slide number in a second. That's something we're very focused on. It's 3.7 today. It was 3.8 earlier. And our whole focus is on slide number 26, where we clearly reflected 3.7. And that's something, if we are able to manage between a 3.6 and a 3.7 as we continue to invest and grow, I think it should augur well in terms of us reaching our ROA targets.
And on credit cost?
On credit cost, as I mentioned, the medium to long term, we should be able to operate within a 2.2%.
And it will start reflecting from Q3 onwards, right?
Gautam, I'm sure it will start to improve. If it starts reflecting from Q3 onwards, I'm sure I'll be as happy as you are.
I have one more question. Can I ask?
Sure. Go ahead.
This time your BPO profit also went up sharply, Q1Q and YOY. So can you comment on that business?
Sure. So we had earlier mentioned the way to look at BPO, and sometimes there is obviously, you know, billing which will be plus minus a month, or, you know, accruals which get deferred. If you look at a PAT of 15 crores per quarter, it more or less flatlines towards that. A PAT of 60 crores per annum is where it, you know, largely moves around plus minus a few. So there's been a little bit of, you know, billing which would have moved from one quarter to another, but nothing more than that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
So margins are fairly stable there. There's nothing which changes fundamentally.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, thank you, and thank you for taking my follow-up. This relationship PL, which is 8% of your portfolio, and you said that it's offered to existing customers. So what is the existing product overlap? Can you name the product with which it overlaps with? And what is this portfolio growth has been on Q1Q and Y&Y basis, this relationship PL?
So relationship PL is a product that is offered to only existing customers of the company. So it's a business where we offer loans to our existing individual borrowers. And the customer could have originated to us through any of the other businesses, including consumer. If you look at our company, we have today 21 million customers, but yeah, a large proportion of them would be through our consumer finance business, right? And so as the customer matures with us and the loan tenure is towards closure, we look at multiple ways of engaging with the customer, either through follow-up products or, the advantage of a relationship PL is because it's an unsecured loan, it can be used for multiple use cases by the customer, right? So the customer will have a pre-approved limit either for purchasing a consumer durable. If you take a consumer finance case, he could have a pre-approved limit for buying a consumer durable, he could have a pre-approved limit for buying a two-wheeler, or he could have a pre-approved limit for a unsecured personal loan, right? So these will be different limits based on, what product the customer is looking to buy, because, you know, the tenures are different, the transaction sizes are different, and we engage with the customers on a continuous basis, either through our in-app notifications or through our outreach programs to the customers, and that's how we engage and build this book. Any color in terms of growth that you want to give?
So it's a focused business for us, Rajiv, and something we will continue to grow over a period of time. If you look at the same product 4 years ago, I think we would have almost grown a CAGR of 40% plus over a period of time. So we're very focused on the consumer segment as a whole, as I mentioned, and that's something which we will continue to grow.
And would it also have CVC customers as well here in the customer base of this RPL product?
Yes, there would be customers.
There would be, but if you'd like to think about it in terms of the customer base, right? It would obviously be a slightly smaller customer base. So if you have 1 million customers in consumer durables, you might have, 10, 20,000 customers in CVCE. So the number of people to whom you could cross-sell obviously would be there as a percentage of that customer base, but absolute number of people would be lesser.
Okay. Now, second thing is on the cost levers and cost dynamics. Now that we are in a very moderate growth environment and we are also, constantly checking on growth, right? What are the cost levers or dynamics available to us to manage the pre-provision operating profitability? Are there anything more that we can do on the cost efficiency side or productivity side which will help us, control the PPOP?
So at this point in time, Rajiv, the way I would look at it is on the cost front, we believe we're fine. I think this quarter, as there was slightly lower growth, we've made sure we managed to moderate some of the cost as well. And we would continue to do that. So I don't see that as the, biggest worry. our key focus is to our business is let's invest, let's focus on the long term in terms of, you know, how we build on this as a growth area, right? The most important focus, if you think about from a long term point of view, is how well do you invest so that you achieve your medium term growth targets and also achieve your ROAs as a whole. Yeah, and that's how we look at it.
Sure, sure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of the time. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jaykumar Shah for closing comments.
Thank you very much, Sagar. So from everyone here at HDB, wishing you all a very, very happy Diwali, a prosperous new year, and a year full of good health and happiness. All the very best, and may your families do well as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of HDB Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.